I'm Aaron Schachter, and this is The World. Thanks to Edward Snowden, we're getting semi-weekly revelations about the NSA's electronic snooping. It's all providing a glimpse into just how much spycraft has changed through the years. You might think human intelligence has given way to satellites and computers. Not so fast.
Our government is listening to everybody and everything. Spies are certainly aware of that, and they still use a lot of old-fashioned methods.
David Wise is author of numerous books on spycraft, most of them nonfiction. His most recent is Tiger Trap, America's Secret Spy War with China. I asked him what's so great about old-school spy methods like the infamous dead drop.
The old-fashioned ways work because there's no meeting between the spy and his recruiter or his handler. Let's suppose, for example, that I'm the spy and you're handling me, and I want to communicate with you and say, hey, I've got a hot document out of the Pentagon. I want to put it somewhere where you can pick it up but not meet with you. Well, I can't just pick up the phone or pick up my cell phone and call you because someone might be listening. So I probably have an arrangement to put a tape or a chalk mark on a certain lamppost or light pole that you check frequently. These are signals that would tell the opposition that there's a dead drop, a hiding place ready to be unloaded. Take the documents out and put the money that's coming to the spy back in the dead drop. So that's how they exchange money for documents.
So are spies these days also doing the things like wigs and fake mustaches? And
they're not using shoe phones, but there was, I assume, a CIA guy, a young fellow in our embassy in Moscow, who in May of this year, fairly recent, was picked up by Russian intelligence. He had two wigs with him. One was blonde. He was wearing that one. The other was dark. He had three pairs of glasses, two knives, two envelopes with money, a flashlight, a can of mace, and a compass in case he got lost in Moscow, I guess. And he had a letter with him offering a Russian intelligence officer $1 million if he'd agree to cooperate with the United States. His name was Ryan Fogle, F-O-G-L-E, third secretary of the U.S. Embassy, but he wouldn't be running around with a blonde wig unless he was actually CIA.
See, I heard that story, and I thought that sounds so ridiculous, so oafish and old school that it couldn't possibly be true.
Well, yeah, it seemed like he was a young fellow who was outfitted with a little bit more than he needed.
Is there any money in nonfiction spy books? You know, we know Dan Brown's a gajillionaire from his sort of airport and beach novels.
Well, you know, I'm not complaining, but I'm not a jillionaire, and I'm not Dan Brown. My books have a good audience. One of my books was the number one bestseller, of which I was co-author. It was called The Invisible Government. So, you know, some of my books have done well, but I don't recommend writing for a living as a... It's tough, but there is a smaller audience for the type of fiction and nonfiction that I write. It's a more specialized audience, and I have no complaints.
Okay. Author David Wise, he is the real deal, author of numerous books on spycraft. A real pleasure. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Aaron.